For 3 weeks now, we have talked about our mission statement. For years, we have spoken of things like mission statements and vision statements. And then I'll have people say, well, what's the difference between a mission statement and a purpose statement? Well, the answer is there's no difference. A mission statement is a purpose statement. What is your mission or what is your purpose is defining the same thing. We've chosen the word mission rather than purpose because purpose tends to put a focus on the individual. Mission tends to broaden it so that we can all share in it. You can have one large mission and everybody can have different purposes within it and yet have it accomplish a single end. So that's how my thinking goes. That's where all of this comes from and why. So the mission statement of Temple Baptist Church is this. Temple Baptist Church exists for the glory of God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've spoken to you over the last 3 weeks about that statement and shared three messages that give more depth and definition to it. But there's a second part of what we believe and of the convictions that we hold as a church that also contributes to this, and it's the vision statement. So the mission is what's true for us because the Bible says it is. The vision is what the Bible says about how we live that out. So if you have a mission in mind, that is, we exist for the glory of God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, then how do I make that real? How do I respond to that practically? What does that mean for us as a church? And that's what's in the vision statement. Now, it's not a single statement like the previous one. And really, it's not a statement at all, but rather it is a series of three core values. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the core values. What is it that we value as Temple Baptist Church above everything else? What is most important? Or if you want to use the word ultimate, what is it that's ultimate in our church? That means non-negotiable. This is who we are. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to do this whether anybody else does it or not. We're going to do this regardless of what comes in our lives together as a church or our lives individually. We're going to do and be these things because there's no way I can claim the name of Christ and that I can commit my life to following Him and ignore these core values. Can't do it. And if you do, then you're one of two things. You're either a liar or you're a fake. And both of those are very dangerous. If you claim the name of Christ, if you say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you do not hold to these core values that the Bible with such great clarity teaches us that all Christians should be able to agree upon regardless of their denominations, regardless of their affiliations, regardless of anything else. If you believe the Bible and if you believe Jesus Christ and you're a follower of Him and you deny these core values, you're a liar or you're a fake. That's all there is to it. Now, I say it real strongly because I want it to stick. And you say, well, this just might be a challenge, you know. I'm challenging it. I'm putting it out there as a challenge. I want to encourage you to feel challenged. I want to encourage you to sit there and listen to what I say and feel in your mind, okay, he's already thrown this out there. Now you prove it. You back it up. What are these core values that you speak of? And how is it that you can declare that I absolutely must accept them or be a liar or a fake? Here we go. You ready? First core value is truth. We value truth. As Temple Baptist Church, as individual followers of Jesus Christ, we value truth. Now notice I didn't say the truth, although I will talk about the truth. We value truth. There has never been a time in the history of the world that it has been more important for Christians to rise up and identify themselves as people who value truth. In fact, there has never been a time in the history of this country where we even needed to. It was assumed. But when we stopped being a Christian nation, which happened some time ago, by the way, and we started becoming more of a secular nation, and that is something that has been going on for a long time as well, there became a predominant or pervasive sense that truth really isn't absolute. There's nothing that you can say is absolutely true. It may be true for you, but it isn't necessarily true for me. And really, what is truth anyway? Remember the old philosophical problem, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? I can answer that. Yes, it does. It makes a sound. Doesn't matter whether you hear it or not. You ever have a problem with which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's easy. The chicken. God didn't make eggs. God made chickens in the garden. Chickens made eggs. God made chickens. I already know the answer to that. I know truth. This is what truth is. Why does a tree make a sound when it falls? Because the sound isn't dependent on whether or not I experience it. Truth is not dependent on my experience or interpretation of it. That's philosophy, and that is junk a lot of times. Let's get down to what's true. Let's get down to what's real and what's consistent. I need something to guide and direct my life regardless of what else is going on in it. I need something that provides me with a foundation that I can cling to and I can hold to. I need to know that what I believe today is still going to be valid and valuable tomorrow. That's truth. And that's what we value. So many times churches start to value social ministry, and I am all about social ministry. In fact, Temple Baptist Church does as much or more in the realm of social ministry in this town and across the world than any other church. We are equal to or greater than our sister churches. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to identify that we embrace the needs of those around us and we sacrifice and give in order to meet those needs because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. Love God, love others, love your neighbor. But social ministry is not why we exist. It's what we do because we exist. Social ministry is not the sum total of the truth, but because we know the truth directs us to help others. If you get it backwards, then you've got the cart in front of the horse, or you've got the tail wagging the dog. And how many churches do we know that are exactly like that? How many times have we even found our own selves in that predicament where we were struggling over what is important and what is value and what is ultimate and trying to decide what direction we're going to do or what we're going to do or how we're going to use resources or what sort of stewards we're going to become or what is it that's most important or what's worth fighting for or fighting over? Truth is something that we should all be able to agree on. So what do we understand about the truth? Let me give you three things and three different verses of Scripture. The first of them is John 14:6. John 14:6 teaches us the expression of the truth. Now, I use that phrase because this is the highest expression of the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, in the life, no man cometh unto the Father except through me." So the truth is not a principle, but a person. And the person is Jesus. So Jesus is the highest expression of truth that we can know. That's why when we say that we exist for the glory of God, it's through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the object of our transformation, the means of our transformation, the one that we follow. Why? Because He is the truth. So if you want to know the truth, you got to look at Jesus. You say, well, how do I see Jesus? Here you go. The Bible. You got to go back to the Bible. But you don't pick out the pieces and the parts that you like. You pick out all of it. And if you really want to understand what the Christian life is all about, go back and read the Gospels and make the application of the teachings of Jesus Christ from the perspective of a disciple. Sit down on the rock, walk along with Him along the roadway, sit in the boat and listen to Him teach or watch His miraculous performance and see all of the things. And then kneel with Him in the garden, hear the anguish of His voice and realize that it was at that moment when He said, not my will but yours be done, that the glory of God shined its brightest. Truth is known through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the highest expression and the greatest expression of God's ultimate truth, so that He would declare, I am the way. How do I live? Live the way He teaches us. I think a lot of times we simplify and reduce the Christian life and experience to a point where it's almost cliche. Jesus is enough. Oh, just live like Jesus. WWJD. What would Jesus do? And we put it in that perspective. Here's the problem. A lot of people think they know what Jesus would do, but they don't because they haven't read anything about Jesus. A lot of people think they know what Jesus would do because they have imposed their own ideas and will on Him. Well, Jesus just loved everybody and He was a great teacher. Well, I wouldn't deny either of those statements, but is that it? That sounds to me more like an excuse to just kind of do your own thing and forget about what He said. Jesus also taught very hard and very harsh things that nobody really wanted to hear. In fact, the more Jesus taught, the less there were people following Him. I mean, if you go back and read the life of Christ, especially the public ministry, what you'll find is that there comes a time when, you know, there's thousands and thousands that want to see Him perform miracles and turn everything into, or multiply food and feed them by the thousands with food left over. You know, they come and they do that. But then Jesus starts to teach them that this is about sacrifice and that the kingdom is going to cost them everything. And that it's not about beating out the Romans for governmental authority. It's about surrendering and sacrificing your life to be a servant. And it says that on those days, many, many stopped following Him. It was just too much. Truth, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would die. That's what Jesus would do. He would die to Himself. He would die to the world around Him. He would die for those who couldn't die for themselves. It's costly. When we look at the expression of the truth that we see in Jesus Christ, yes, we see Him saying, love God with all your heart and your soul and your strength. But we also hear Him say, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are important principles that form the foundation for our understanding of how we live our lives in relationship with Jesus. We love God above all else, and we love others before ourselves. Some of you may have forgotten, but today is Valentine's Day. Did you know that? I read a thing on the internet, on Facebook. One of the guys said, you know, they weren't going to observe Valentine's Day because it was a manufactured holiday that was for nothing more than the sale of candy, flowers, and greeting cards. And so therefore they would not yield to the oppression of social convention, and he and his wife weren't going to do it. I thought, I bet his wife is sitting there thinking, yeah, I went along with this, but what a jerk. You know? She was thinking that. Now, someone asked me yesterday what I had done, and I put it on Twitter, which goes to Facebook, and so everybody saw it. I got my wife a corsage. She loves roses, and she was going to be here today, and actually it's not a holiday for us, so we're working today, and so I got her some roses. I got her chocolate-covered strawberries. I don't like strawberries. There was a mistake. When strawberries were originally created in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have seeds on them. They were smooth and they were supple. But when man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned and the fall occurred and God cursed everything, that's when the seeds came on the outside and they got gritty and nasty. And so I don't eat strawberries. Now, I like the taste of strawberry stuff, you know, like if you can squeeze something out of that or get some sort of extracted flavor. I like that strawberry syrup, you know, that's not really strawberries. But I got her chocolate-covered strawberries, and I just sucked the chocolate off of them. For some reason, she doesn't want to eat the strawberry after that. I don't know what the deal is. We went to dinner last night. We went and had a steak at Matt's Steakhouse, and evidently about 2/3 of the population of Sullivan also went there, because I saw more people that I knew from Sullivan at Matt's Steakhouse last night than I do at Do Come In most of the time. So it was interesting. We had time together. Now, why do you do that? Manufactured holiday or not? I don't know. I know it's as good an opportunity for me to tell my wife I love her as any. And I probably need to take every good encouragement that I can get to do that. And you probably need to as well. I think that sharing the love that God has placed in our hearts with those around us is an expression of who Christ wants us to be and who we become if we abide in His truth. So Jesus is the truth. The highest expression of the truth is Jesus Christ. And the way we understand the truth from Him is He teaches us to love God first, to love others as ourselves, and then to follow Him in everything. And we do that as we read about Him, as we hear the Holy Spirit teaching us, and as the Holy Spirit conforms our lives, transforms our lives to the image that we see in Christ Jesus of the glory of God. Secondly, an experience with the truth. The expression of the truth is Jesus. An experience with the truth is something that produces a change in us. Look at John 8:32. It says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:32, our experience with the truth tells us that there's going to be a change in us. Something's going to be different because of that experience. What is different? If Jesus Christ is the expression of the truth, when I follow Jesus Christ, then my experience with the truth makes a difference. It says you will know the truth. So there's a personal experience. We know the truth experientially. It's something that we understand because it's impacted our lives. This past week, held the funeral service for Frieda Kinney. I talked about Jake and Frieda last week. Just really had gotten over that on Thursday. Everything went very well, and we were so grateful for the opportunity to be a part of that, to encourage that family, and to remember her legacy. And then Friday morning, got the call that Jim Scott had passed away. Jim had only been on hospice care for maybe a day, not quite a day. When they brought him home, and I think he got home about 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and he passed away 7:30 Friday morning. Jim was a dear friend of mine, and we'd spent a lot of time together, and we've been together in one form or another for the entire time that I've been the pastor here. And Jim was one of the first people that I met, one of the first pastors from the area that I met. And we got to be friends just almost instantly. And then when he had to take disability and left the active pastorate, became a member here. He and Ruth got involved in our church, and then that relationship has just grown. And so when I think about, you know, preparing for his memorial service tomorrow, and I think about all of the things that I would want to share in that, it's not something that comes, Frida was the same way, it's not something that comes from information that other people have given me. It comes from my own experience. I have experience with these people. What I share is out of my own relationships with them. That's what makes it so different. Somebody, and I realize that there are some churches that are so large, the pastor can't possibly have that kind of one-on-one experience with all of the people. But ours isn't. Ours is small enough that I can still have that kind of experience with people, to know people, to share their lives. Whether it's on a regular basis or just an occasional basis, we still get to know one another and spend time together. And that means so much to me, and that is a part of who I am. I think it's one of the reasons that God has put me in a church such as this, because that's what I thrive on, and that's what I enjoy doing. It's what I feel gifted to be a part of, building those relationships and sharing them. The problem is that when one of those relationships is severed by death, you lose something of yourself. And yet, as the bard said, it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I am absolutely convinced that the pain of losing Jim in this life is absolutely worth it to the joy of having known him in this life. It's an experience that runs the full gamut up and down of emotions. When he says that the truth, you will know the truth, he's talking about knowing it by experience, through embracing and through going the full gamut of experiences and emotions up and down. You shall know the truth, and it produces a change in us. It sets us free. Free from what? Free from our sin, free from the threat of death and separation, free from the struggles that come from loneliness, because now the Holy Spirit is within us, free from the accusations of the evil one, free from the failures of the past and the weaknesses of the present. You shall know the truth. The truth will liberate you. It liberates your mind to think in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. It liberates your life to become an extension of God's glory and grace in a world of darkness and death. It liberates everything that you have, all of your resources, because they no longer belong to you. You are but a steward of those things, and you get to manage them and utilize them for a purpose greater than yourself. It liberates you from all that would otherwise entangle. Isn't it interesting how God sent Jesus Christ, and the truth that we experience in him sets us free from the things that we actually think are freedom. You know, this country is founded on the desire and the quest for freedom, but so many times we have perverted that into something that really produces another form of slavery. This whole secular thing and the pursuit of my own will and the desire for more stuff is nothing more than slavery and bondage. If you really want to be free, you will find it only through your relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the expression of truth. It is through him and our experience or relationship with him that we encounter and experience the truth. And then one other passage that I share with you teaches us the essentials of knowing the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16. You can turn over there, and it's a familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The essentials of the truth that you're going to need to be able to handle and continue to grow in this and mature in the truth yourself, you will find here. This is one of the reasons why there has been a shift or a change in the way we do some of the things that we do here at Temple Baptist Church over the last year. One of the reasons when we came to the realization that truth is the foundation and the core value that we're going to declare that we are committed to above everything else. Truth is something that is not negotiable. And if that is the case, then how do we understand the truth? We understand it through Jesus Christ and our experience with Him, and we understand and grow in the truth through the teachings of God's Word, the Bible. Now, what does that mean for us? That means that Bible teaching has to be a priority. You say, well, it's always been a priority, and I would absolutely agree with that. This church has had a commitment to Scripture for its entire history. All of the years that Temple Baptist Church has been in existence have been years committed to the teaching, the preaching, and the ministry of the Word of God. But over the last 20, 25 years, Southern Baptists as a whole have kind of lost some of the emphasis, and we have allowed our Bible teaching to become more what we do in services like this, in large settings, in generalized settings, with less application. Applicational teaching is something that is essential if we are to understand and use what we learn from the Bible, and if we are to grow in our understanding of the Bible. I believe that everybody can read the Bible and understand it for themselves, and I am all about the priesthood of the believer. That is God's equipping each member. But I also know that the Bible requires teachers, and that there is time and talent that must be devoted and giftedness that must be utilized in order to accurately teach the Bible. So many times I see and I hear bad theology coming from good folks, and it's because of weak discipleship. Discipleship is not an option for a church that is committed to Christ and following Him. It is not an option for a church that values truth. We must do discipleship. Jesus did it, and that was how He changed the world. How is it that we would come along now in this century and say, well, it's no longer important? It is important. It is vitally important, and it may be more important now than it has been in a long time. So what do I mean by that? I mean that teaching the Word of God needs to be done at times in smaller groups. You say, well, I don't want to be a part of a smaller group. You need to get over it. I mean, that's just the way it is. You need to get over that. You're wrong. I'm right. The sooner you admit that, the happier we're all going to be. Amen? Okay. You say, well, what about Sunday school? Is that discipleship? Absolutely, positively, beyond any measure of doubt, yes, that is discipleship. What about those small groups you keep talking about that y'all are teaching these specialized studies in? Is that discipleship? Absolutely, positively, beyond any measure of doubt, that is discipleship. Discipleship is taking you out of this large group where you stay anonymous, putting you into a smaller group with a qualified teacher who can lead you through either a specialized, focused, intense study of God's Word on a particular subject, or a more generalized study like what we do sometimes in Sunday school, And helping you to not only do that from the perspective of this one teacher, but engaging the people around you. It forces you into relationships and application and accountability and expressions that you simply will not do on your own. Discipleship is fundamentally biblical because it's tied directly to the truth, the Word of God. The Bible. Believing it, teaching it, clinging to it, holding on to it, sharing it, growing in it, maturing by it. That's what He's calling us to. So what is it that we value here at Temple Baptist Church? Fried chicken, of course. Gospel music? Yes. Contemporary music? Of course. Hymns? Absolutely. Music in general? Part of who we are. What do we value here? Helping people? You bet. Crisis ministry? Yes. This is one of the best crisis ministry churches anywhere. I mean, the rest of the world could blow apart, and this bunch of folks would rally to help them out. That's just who you are. And I'm so grateful for that. We value all of those things. We value so many principles and so many precepts that hold us together. But in the midst of all of that, and what gives meaning to all of that, is the reality that we value above all of that truth. Because we understand that truth is not limited to principle and precept. Truth is in Jesus. A personal experience with Jesus. Learning and growing and maturing in that experience through studying the Word that speaks of Jesus. Every word speaks of Jesus in this book. And it directs us to Him. We will not compromise. It is not open for negotiation. We are people of the truth. That's how it is. Because that's how it's supposed to be.